This is James with a question. Anita, I know that I don't, I'm not asking you, of course, to reveal any confidential information, but I know you have other clients and this is your business, so you're keeping an eye on the industry in general. Are we completely unusual in this? How are we doing compared to other nonprofit radio? You know, how are we doing? You know, how do we compare to the against the background of the industry in general?
Well, I mean, we do have some other radio clients, but the bulk of it are TV, and then joint licensees. In all cases, I think both the joint licensees are doing well. But keep in mind, they did receive a substantial stimulus money, if you will, from CDC. So that has helped. But in quite frankly, in the industry, for the public media that we work with, what they're concerned about is 2021. In 2022, depending on how long the pandemic lasts and what have you, because underwriting essentially has gone away for them. So even though they still are maintaining, you know, listener support or on the TV side, they still are getting donations, contributions. They're really concerned about future. And the future is now. We're talking about 2021. Did I answer your question, sir?
You did, but I'm going to ask you to expand on that. Underwriting is going away.
Has gone away.
We've been looking at.
But in public media, and we can do an assessment for you across the country almost by looking at SAB's information. In the majority of stations, they're saying funds that they receive from underwriting is going away. Essentially, people are not wanting to underwrite programs or events, if you will, which is another area that's essentially disappeared.
Well, interesting. Okay. Anyone else with any other questions?
Yes, Paulina.
Okay. Go ahead, Paulina.
Thank you. Very much following up on what Jim Sagerton was asking about underwriting in the in the industry. You say it has gone away. Is it all kinds of underwriting, or is it just underwriting for public affairs or for a certain type of public affairs? For instance, given that we're in an election year and getting out the vote is very important, so is, the census. Is that kind of underwriting that is looking to bolster public service announcements and programming that, gets out the vote in general, is that also gone away?
Well, it's going away, is my understanding. In other words, it has dropped because for a long, long time, stations, the dual licensees, radio and TV, had done quite well in underwriting. And that is what they are seeing has dropped off. As I said, I made myself a note. I'll get you some stats on it. Again, we have we can ask CPB to provide us a comparison, if you will. They don't need to know for who, dual licensees or radio, and see the information. And then I can share it with the committee.
Thank you. That would be very helpful.
Thank you.
We are now about 5 minutes over for this item. I apologize. I was looking at the spreadsheet and I was not watching the stopwatch. Is there anyone who wants to continue with this item? Or Anita, do you have any more that you'd like to go into?
No, that was the end of my and I'm sorry, I totally went over.
No, we're very interested. It was, we need to know these things. Well, I had said earlier that we were we're going to do everything that had to do with Anita because she's not well. And so why don't we now move to our next item, which is a discussion of the central services formula. And if we can, I don't know to what extent we can, but to the extent we can, anything that would involve Anita answering a question, if we could possibly move that to the front of the conversation so that she can get off the call and rest. Chris, did you want to continue with that? Shall we just pick it up where we left off?
I think we can pick it up where we left off, James. Basically, if I can kind of recap, I sent a spreadsheet out. It's got a bunch of formulas in it. There's two basic concepts. One is membership, and the other one is revenue. And then there's the timing of the revenue that became kind of a more complicated subject that we kind of got into, and maybe it was a mistake even bringing it up. But if depending on the look back period, the way that the revenue impacts the central services formula can be more dynamic or less dynamic, more dampened the more time is taken in, the more steady the central services formula is over time. But the disadvantage, of course, is that if a station is having a rapid decline and is incapable of making central services payments, there's no immediate break for that. One of the things that I was trying to say in the previous discussion is that stations shouldn't concern themselves too much with that, in my opinion. And I understand that this is, you know, kind of more of a political issue than a financial issue in many cases. But the fact that it's forming should be cause for concern for the entire organization, and the resources of the organization should be brought to bear to help that station out. The idea should not be to mask the underperformance of that station, but rather to make it clear that that's what's going on, so that we can act in a coherent and consensus kind of way. And so that's kind of the last discussion went, I believed, and kind of where it stopped. The other thing that I brought up, the question I asked was whether the membership numbers were more reliable than the revenue numbers, and I think that question was actually pretty well decided. I think most people at this point are pretty comfortable with the revenue numbers. And I will add one small thing to that too, and that's that in terms of the amount of agreement between NEDA and the individual stations, revenue is almost always like 98-99% agreement. It's the disagreement is almost always on the expense side and the categorization of the expenses. It's almost never how the revenues are categorized or what the revenues are. Even when there was massive disagreement between NEDA and NWBAI in terms of expenses, that disagreement was virtually nil on the revenue side. So I think that as long as we can rely on NEDA to produce numbers for us rapidly, that's as good a measure of how a station is doing and as good a measure of how of a station's ability to pay as any. So I'll leave it at that. I think the board and the committee is quite familiar with the issues at this point. We just need to decide what to do. Thank you.
Okay, and Anita, I'm going to ask you a question, which we touched on in our phone conversation, and I think you had other conversations where it was touched on, and that is, how does figuring out what the central services requirement is going to be, how does that figure in to some of our various activities as far as finances go in terms of budgeting, the cuts that were the unfortunate cuts that we're facing at some of our stations? How does needing to know what the central services formula and what the resultant revenue will be from that affect those matters?
Well, I mean, from our perspective, to give you an example, for us to put together a budget for the national office, we need to know what money is going to be coming in, since the national office really doesn't raise anything or any funds. So that, I think when you and I were talking and someone else has asked that question before, actually that is the only amount that is missing in some other assumptions in that budget, but we were essentially through with that. I think at some point we provided what the budget for the national office was, including all the normal salary and what have you. I want to say 1.8. I know I had sent a report out to that, and that was for 2019. Excuse me, total cost of operation. I'm sorry, I misspoke. 2.8 million. And again, so if I'm answering your question, Mr. Chair,
you are.
We need it not just that, for that, but also for the stations to help them balance their budget, if you will. And this came up in discussion last night with KPFK. In other words, they can't afford to pay the central services amount of $6,000 a month. I think it's a dollar amount, $36,829. Over a, which is about $415,000 a year. Excuse me.
Right.
Paulina to the stack with a question.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Thank you. Anita, there is a conversation going around as well on the local level, as well as the national level, about the chicken and the egg, if you will. For instance, if, you know, the national office can put together a budget as far as what needs to, you know, what expenses need to be covered, and then figure out how much needs to be raised in general, and part of that, of course, will be central services. And I completely understand that it's, you know, it's important to understand how much you can count on from central services before you can make a budget. But at the same time, let's just say that if you were to count on the same amount that, you know, the current amount, would you be able to come up with a budget independently of what the actual situation for the central services is? The reason why I ask is it seems like, you know, maybe it's helpful for stations to understand what national, you know, what the national needs are in order to then figure out what central services needs to be, if that makes
sure.
any sense.
It does. And actually, I think I find myself using a similar analogy. We need to know what the central services dollar amount is going to be in order for us to, one, help stations determine can they balance their budget, and also for the national office. But in when I look at prior years, there were a lot of attorney expenses with the national office that was expense there. I can't tell you why, but there was a lot. All those expenses, of course, I did leave a dollar amount for attorneys, but I totally reduced it from whatever that dollar amount was. I want to say $400,000 comes to mind. But, I mean, essentially the budget is flat. The small salaries that are covered within that are the same. We actually even budget for, I know there's a CEO position open. We use the same number that we used for the last CEO. But, I mean, it's pretty bare bones, and I'll be happy to send that out after James and reviews it. And I believe that went out, I want to say at least a week and a half ago. But, again, I can send it again.
Mm-hmm. By CEO, you meant, do you mean executive director?
Yes.
Okay.
But, I mean, we did factor in things like that we knew would be something that you know, is in discussion now. But again,
Anita, why don't you? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm through.
I was going to say, why don't you just send that out to the committee, to the officers of the board, the executive director?
Okay.
And the GMs. Why don't we just send that out without any further review?
Okay. I can do that.
And so I think you have answered the question, thank you, at length about why we need to do this. And so I think that brings us, unless you have more to say, Anita.
No, I don't. I mean, I think it's all been said. And again, I don't have anything else to add. I mean, we can't move forward until we have a definitive answer or a new formula for us to abide by. And again, I think the other question remains is, do stations currently, those that owe money, is that written off? Do we start with a clean slate? That's another question.
Right. I think you've given us a fresh understanding of the immediacy of this. We cannot really afford to just philosophize about this or idly debate it as if it was a philosophical discussion. We need to act on this for, you know, immediate needs in order to be able to figure out what's going to happen at KPFK and at all the other stations going forward. So now that we know that, it brings us back to Chris's question. You know, we've talked about the options. Now we have to figure out what to do. And with that, I think we could allow, as a group, we could allow Anita to go and get some rest and continue that conversation amongst ourselves. Is everybody agreeable to that? Okay, Anita, why don't you go and rest yourself? Oh, I hear somebody.
I was just saying, Anita, could you just get better.
Yeah.
Take your rock.
I have one question for Anita.
Yeah. I'm just surprised you're here. Thank you.
Anita, before you go, I hear Dwayne, I think, with a quick question, with another question. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, it's only that you did get a negative test, right?
Correct.
Well, thank God for that. Okay. Well,
enjoy
some rest. And be thankful that I pushed and pushed for no Thursday meeting for the PNB. So hopefully they can extend your rest.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for that too, Dwayne.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
And thank you,
Anita.
All right.
Thank you.
For
bye-bye.
Exceptional duty above and beyond the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
So now we're back to the question of what do we do, and with hopefully a little new urgency about why we have to do it as soon as possible. So shall we poll the group to see how people are feeling about, you know, the quest for the first question, which was basically revenue versus membership? I think we may have already reached some consensus on that, but perhaps we need to just do a quick poll to make sure of that. So why don't we just ask, was that our poll?
No, it was just Nancy, just rephrase the question, yeah, which I think you were just about to do. Never mind.
Okay. the question is, what do we feel is the avenue to pursue? We have a choice to go down the road of basing a central services formula on income or basing it on membership. And there were various arguments attendant, you know, in favor or against, pro and con against each route. I thought at the last discussion, we kind of came to more or less of a consensus on going towards the income route, So, I mean, should we go around and mow those present and just ask people what they think?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. R. Paul, can you do this by calling the roll, and then people can just say income or
I can do that.
Revenue?
Hold on. Okay, so 1 second.
So the choice, while R. Paul gets ready, the choice would be, I guess, to say either revenue or membership. Any other choices, Chris, that you think we should throw in there?
No, those are the two basic ones.
Okay.
Okay. So everybody, I will change this. I'm having to change the usual form I use for the voting, and let's do that. Okay. We'll start. Sharon Adams and Nick Arena are not here, right? Neither one of you is still here? Okay. Teresa J. Allen? Here. Fred Blair?
Most definitely revenue.
Chris Corey?
Revenue.
Dwayne Lart?
Revenue.
R. Paul Martin, revenue. James Sagerton?
Revenue.
Nita Sims has left, I think, right? Yeah. Nancy Sorden.
Either is abstained.
Okay. Polina Vasilyev.
Revenue.
Okay, well, it's 6 for revenue, none for membership, and 1 abstention.
Right. So that allows us to proceed in discussing revenue without going down a road that will lead to nowhere. And eventually we'll come up with some actual formulae and proceed from there. So, having established that, Chris, do you want to continue with delineating what the possibilities are under revenue and how that would actually work?
Sure. And keep in mind that, you know, the NFC is empowered to change this at any point in time. I think the circumstances that we find ourselves is that we are living through an extremely volatile revenue environment, but it won't always be that way, I don't suspect. And so we may decide to do something else later. But the two that I spelled out on the spreadsheet were a 2-year rolling average of revenues and a 6-month rolling average of revenues. And the is for it to make any real sense, we would have to update the central services formula twice a year, which for obvious reasons is probably not all that great. But under the circumstances that we find ourselves in, once again, it might be for the best to do that just to keep a more dynamic model as we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
The other model would only require to be revised once a year, I think, because a 2-year rolling average isn't going to move as quickly. I want to also point out for those of you who have forgotten that the average between those two, and this gets very murky because it's basically a weighted average since 6 months is part of 2 years. It ends up being, I think, 75% 6 months and 25% the previous 18 months or something like that. That weighted average is almost exactly the same as membership. In other words, the longer we take the longer the look back period we employ, the closer to membership we get. So if we really want something that's significantly different than membership, the short term revenue model is probably the best. But like I say, it does require a more nimble National Finance Committee and a more cooperative arrangement with accounting and the individual stations in terms of the formula. If we do that, so those are kind of the how it all weighs out and plays out. So there you have it.
This is the chair with a question. and I'm wondering, you know, I understand changing it every, you know, doing it twice a year, every 6 months, has difficulties. And we also have certain parts of the year that where we have more revenue than other parts of the year. I think the better revenue time tends to come in the latter 6 months of the year rather than the first 6 months. But we also have a fault line, and I'm not sure that it's a clear fault line that you can pin down to an actual date, but we have pre-COVID and post-COVID. So I'm wondering if we should possibly use a post-COVID initial analysis of the revenue rather than go back to before COVID and include that in our formula going forward. Any thoughts on that? And I'll ask this to Chris or anybody else who's interested.
Dwayne, to the stack.
All right, let's take Dwayne, and then we'll go back to Chris if he wants to respond or anybody else. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, first off, I think we tend to complicate things that are made to be simple. And you make a decision that is in the best interest of finances. And I think we all have come to a consensus, if not a unilateral agreement, that it's revenue. And how we get there, to me, whether you have the same revenue all year, you have the same revenue for 3 years. I think for consistency and for people to be able to know how financial governance works, you can't go back and forth. That's almost like schizophrenic. So you make a decision of whether or not you're going to use revenue, pre-COVID revenue, post-COVID revenue, based on the numbers I've seen, there is indistinguishable difference. All stations are suffering. All businesses are suffering, whether it's nonprofit or profit. So I really don't think that should play into the calculation because it's not relevant. The same stations that was number one in revenue now was number one in revenue prior to COVID. So my argument is that we make a decision to make a decision to make a decision that we're going to base central
audio
on revenue and leave it at that. And then if some the next NFC wants to address it, change it, which I wouldn't advise, I hope not, that we at least live with it for a year or two. And if it's not working any better than what has been working, which is only two options, two reasonable options, that is membership, which is a diminishing return as well. I've been involved in this foundation for 12 years. And almost every station I look at, most especially the one that I represent, have had a declining, diminishing membership from 10,000 at KPFT in 2010, 208, to now less than 3,400. And I don't think that's any different than most other stations. So whichever industry you use, there's going to be arguments against it. So I say we have a unanimity almost about revenue. Let's stick with revenue and don't complicate it.
Nancy to the stack.
Chris Corey to the stack.
Let me just write that down. Nancy, Chris, anybody else? We'll come back to it. And I just want to let everybody know it's now by my clock, 10 minutes after. And we have about 5 minutes to go in this meeting, so if we want to extend, we should do it shortly. Does anybody want to do that now, or shall we just run out the stack?
Extend for what do we need? I move that we extend.
I don't know.
I move that we extend for the meeting for 20 minutes. Well, 10:30.
Is there any objection?
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't object, but this is my second of meetings, which is probably going to be 3 hours from last night. I have an LSB meeting tomorrow night. I have an MSRC meeting on Thursday. That's why I was so adamant against a Thursday meeting for PNB. But I will say that I probably will get off the line in 5 minutes. But that doesn't preclude you guys from doing what you need to do.
Understood, Dwayne, and
we
certainly appreciate the meeting fatigue. We understand completely. Okay, did I hear any other? So hearing no other objection, shall we say that we'll extend till 10:30? Okay, let's consider that done. And then we go back to the stack, and there was Dwayne and then Chris.
And Nancy.
No, I'm sorry. Nancy and then Chris. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so.
Okay, I just wanted to, after thinking about this, I want to change my answer from abstain to revenue. And
good.
And also, for the, you know, I guess the question is, what period are we using to make the revenue calculations? And anyways, I had a question about the first calculation. I'm not sure, so the question is the PPP money that the stations got included as revenue that would be used in calculating the central services?
Are you asking that of any particular person? I can attempt an answer at that, but Anita is gone. But I can say that I believe that we're backing that out of our calculations as an extraordinary expense. I know that that's something that was Chris's practice, and Anita agrees with that practice. And so for operational purposes, in trying to determine these amounts, I think we should back that out. And anybody
well,
else
the
have
reason
any
that,
thoughts?
The reason, okay. Well, okay, yeah, I would argue yeah, that we don't have to pay back.
That's not altogether conclusive.
Yeah, in theory, yeah. Go ahead, Dwayne.
No, I'm just pointing out that that's why you call it a loan. The federal government can tell you that certain amounts that you spent, if you didn't spend a pure 100% on personnel and other personnel-related costs like pensions and things of this nature, like some of us did, many businesses took the 60-40 split. 100% may not be totally. So I wouldn't go there. It was a loan. Leave it on the books as a loan. It wasn't revenue generated by any station as a result of any revenue generating activity. And I think that's pretty explicitly plain.
Correct. And if anybody noticed, Lyndon Foley put out some information about that in terms of how businesses are accounting for PPP money. And that comports with what was in that information. If anybody else got that and wants to review it, that's a good source, I think. What did you think of that, Dwayne?
Well, actually, I haven't read it, but I'm thoroughly familiar, as I said, with the PPP, and I chose, and business associates of mine chose, to use 100% of it for personnel, and it wouldn't be any question about forgiveness.
Right. Okay, I agree. Nancy, were you done there, or did you have other things to say?
Well, you know, if it's extraordinary expenses, then I don't know why, and we're not, you know, I don't know why we're basing the central service calculation on extraordinary income.
Right. So my answer was, I believe we should back that out and not include it.
Okay.
Because as another way of looking at it, as Dwayne said, it's a loan. It wasn't generated by revenue, and we're going to, based on revenue, that wouldn't be included.
Well, I mean, then I don't see the point in drawing the line, you know, between pre-COVID and post-COVID.
That refers back to my comments or my question.
Yeah.
And basically my question was I think we have expended, but it becomes difficult to calculate because we know that COVID is a fault line, but it doesn't appear as such necessarily. When it first started to hit in March, we didn't feel the full impact of the loss of revenue And, you know, as time goes on, we're liable to feel more and more of it. So it's not clear where you would draw a line between pre-COVID and post-COVID. And, you know, to take Duane's point, it would be simpler to just do it on an annual basis, but maybe adjust the formula a little bit because we had some pre-COVID revenue that is going to decline, you know, will be a gradual decline over time since COVID. But again,
I think that
does complicate matters, and, you know, perhaps it's too complicated. Sorry, go ahead, Chris. You were next anyway.
Thank you. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think we are making it a little bit too complicated here. I had a relatively spirited debate with one of the members of Pacifica back and forth over email. And what I was trying to point out to her, and I think they're struggling with this at the same time here, is that, you know, this is a case of a rising tide or a falling tide in the case of the COVID-19 thing, sinking all boats, right? I mean, it shouldn't really impact if all stations are performing similarly under these adverse conditions. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, let's say that every single station has a revenue decline of 20% over the last 6 month period relative to the previous year. It wouldn't impact the central services formula at all in that circumstance, because it would all be proportional and would come out exactly the same as it was a year ago. We're all making 20% less. So the proportions end up being exactly the same, and we'd end up owing the same amount. What would make a difference is if one station is significantly underperforming the rest of the network, which is in fact what's going on right now. And under those circumstances, then that station ends up getting a break because they're underperforming, and the rest of the stations end up getting an increase in central services because the cost of central services is fixed and somebody has to make up for that. In other words, all of the other stations end up subsidizing the station that's underperforming. And I think that's in an organization to be working together as one uniform thing, that actually kind of makes sense, right? I mean, if you have a station that's suffering and that's having a hard time, the other stations that are suffering less step up to the plate and help that station out. It's like a family, you know. You have a struggling sibling, you help the sibling out, and eventually when that sibling is successful again, then the sibling can help you out. You know, the tables may be turned someday and you can look forward to that. But in the meantime, you have to take care of the station that's underperforming. And I think it does kind of make sense at that approximate level, but it'll also play out this way. Unless one station is significantly underperforming, then all stations will end up moving together and we'll all end up paying the same amount. It's only when one station is doing really badly that significant changes will take place. Does that make sense?
Duane, back to the deck. Duane.
Sense to me. Oh, okay, I hear you, Duane. We're going to have
Teresa,
Paulina, and then
Teresa
Duane.
For the stack.
Paulina, Duane, Teresa.
Yes.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Yes. Well, I think at this point it's not just a question of one station underperforming. It's more than one station being in dire straits. And if we, you know, let's name the couple of pink elephants in the room. Well, of course, KPFK is underperforming and KPFT is under-resourced. And I would say KPFK is over-resourced and underperforming. KPFT is direly under-resourced. Tremendously under-resourced, and if you can call whatever they're doing underperforming, I would call it the opposite. I would say they're overperforming given how few resources they have. I mean, that's my impression from from what I'm seeing. Now, going back to what Chris said, Chris, you said central services cost is fixed all, you know, across the board, meaning we have a specific amount of money that needs to be raised, and then we're just deciding how to split the proverbial pie. And that's what I was trying to get at with Anita. Unfortunately, she had to go, and I understand. Hopefully she gets better. you know, the idea of I don't see that. See, I don't see that number because apparently, from my understanding, you know, the national office is waiting for us to figure out the central services formula and for local stations to come up with their budgets for them to figure out what their budget is. You know, it's still to me kind of a mystery as to why, if national office knows what it needs to spend money on and how much it needs in central services, then we can go from there. So if you can just maybe, Chris, mention the figure you were referring to, the that maybe I'm just not, you know, because I'm new, relatively still new, I don't have that figure at my fingertips. That's one. And then finally, very briefly, you know, what if we just focus on that, having that figure, figuring out how to split that pie, and figure out how often that formula needs to be revisited, or how often the same formula needs to be recalculated. Maybe it should be every month. You know, if it's just an automated thing, it's not something that the board needs to even worry about. The algorithms do it for us. Just figure out what's the percentage of, let's say, we all agree, revenue. Revenue should be the basis. Let's see, should it be 10% of revenue, 15% of revenue? Well, that's going to depend. That's going to depend on our projected revenue for each station, which is very difficult to project right now. But also, it's going to depend on what, you know, what the needed amount is, the total amount that we need to raise among the five stations. Thank you.
James, may I respond to that?
Paulina. Well, we do have Teresa next. Teresa, do you mind if Chris responds?
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay.
Thank you, Teresa.
So, first of all, I would precaution against making more than two adjustments per year. I understand that we could totally audit. The problem then becomes budgeting and fundraising. The individual stations need a target to shoot at, and if that target is constantly moving, I'm not sure that creates the kind of environment that's good for planning. And I do have a number for the national office, however, and this doesn't include PRA, incidentally. So this is that's a completely separate discussion that we're going to have at some point here. And I would really like to have a PRA discussion with the National Finance Committee. But for the moment, we're just talking about the national office. And the number that the national office seems to need or has needed for the past few years, and if you go back, I can show you how I arrived at this number, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.4 to $1.5 million a year. And arbitrarily, I chose 1.44 because the math is nice. That works out to $120,000 a month. The figure that Anita gave us earlier includes revenue. Is the total budget, and it also that also includes revenue that the national office raises independently, and it's not an insignificant amount, by the way. So I'm not exactly sure why she said that the national office derives all of its revenue from the stations. It's not true. It's somewhere between a third and a half of their revenue is actually derived directly. So it's not 100% of the burden that falls onto the individual stations for the national office. It's more like you know, somewhere between half and two thirds. So, there.
Chair, did you hear my request, Chair?
I did. Well, no, wait a minute. What? No. Remind me, please, Dwayne.
Okay, I requested the stack before Teresa did.
Okay. No, I did not hear that. Teresa,
Chair,
is that
I'd
okay?
Like
Dwayne, goes ahead.
Chair, I'd like to move to extend for 5 more minutes just to take everybody else in.
On the call, really.
Well, let's deal with the extending for 5 more minutes. Is there any objection?
Extending what? We're already extended to 10:30. So you're extending
10:35. Yes.
Is there any objection?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and now we have...
I did hear Dwayne before Teresa.
Okay. Teresa, we're going to let Dwayne go. Is that okay?
What if it isn't?
I'm not hearing her. Okay, Dwayne, go ahead.
I find reasons to agree with Chris on the points. But on this one, Chris, I think you are looking at the, you're approaching it from a business person standpoint when you say underperforming. While we do try to operate as a business, we are a nonprofit providing a service that really is not that duplicated in the country. And so I believe Felina made some very tangent points and very significant points regarding how we should perceive and the terminologies we use, because you are in business. You perform in business. Your job is looking at things as a business person. But if we were apportioning X number of dollars to each unit, then I think we could base that on performance. But we don't. The performance you're talking about is, as I say, a diminishing return on membership, for instance. And membership is directly tied to donations, and donations is directly tied to revenues, and revenues is directly tied to how we equate performance. And that's not, in my opinion, the accurate way to approach it. But I appreciate you saying that we are a family. And historically, KPFT has helped out other stations that weren't doing as well as they're doing now, historically. And I think, as R. Paul pointed out, we have some historical deficits with respect to our memories, because we come and go, or some come and go. Some of us just come, and then we go. But I would caution us to use terms like underperforming, because to me it's not a matter of performing. It's a matter of being in a radio market that may be devaluing terrestrial radio, because there's so many other platforms. And so it's so difficult to duplicate, replicate, and to regain the amount of listeners. And thus, as I said, listeners translate into donors. Donors translate into revenue. So finally, I would only say that, in leaving this call, that KPFT's business manager and its manager has a proposed budget that the local finance committee has received but has taken no action on. And I know that was the next item we may did not get to, but I wanted to put that on record before the treasurer speak. That, in fact, I've asked them to send it directly to the Pacifica National Committee, Finance Committee, since, in fact, the local station board of KPFT and the 20 members of its Management Selection Review Committee has been totally focused on a management search in the last 6 to 12 weeks and not necessarily focused on a budget. But it is a budget prepared, and I'm going to ask that it be directly sent to the Finance Committee. Thank you and good night.
Teresa, I'm still on.
Good night.
Sorry. Can you hear me?
No.
Can you hear me?
Don't worry, Teresa. I do hear you, yes. Please
okay.
Go ahead.
So, well, our LSD had an executive session and several weeks ago, and we sent something to the interim executive director, which was a proposal as to how to address our very dire financial situation. Was Lydia Brisson on today on the call?
No.
Okay. Well, we are waiting her response. I mean, we said we have a dire situation. This is the LSB. This is what we propose. We have not heard from her. So if you have any suggestion as to how we could get her to return a call, I sure would appreciate it. If we needed to hold a finance meeting every week, I would be happy to do it, but I'm not chair of our finance committee. And I'm not happy with the budget that was proposed. Our interim general manager says that we have problems, but did not put any money in the budget to fix those problems. And we've been told that we have problems with mold. I've been told that there's an estimate. We have estimates between 1,000 and 15,000. I haven't seen the, we have programmers that are telling our listeners that we need to raise $15,000 to fix these problems, but I have not seen this estimate. I have not seen the estimates to actually fix the causes of the problem. I mean, first you get a report that says you have mold, then you get a report that says, an estimate on how much it costs to remediate to get rid of the mold. Then you also get an estimate to fix the sources of water that cause the mold. We don't have these two estimates.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
So this is a problem. And
Mr.
one of the
Chair,
effects
point
the
of
budget.
Order.
Hold on, Teresa, just a moment. Uh-huh. State your point of order, Dwayne.
Mr. Chair, I believe it's inappropriate for this member to be basically prosecuting the IG. She's mentioned the KPFT IGM four or five times in the last 3 to 4 minutes, and I believe it's improper on this open call for her to be throwing the IGM in the grease, referring to something that has nothing germane to the conversation that we're having right here. And I would have hoped you would have jumped in and done that rather than me, because this is what she does every time she opens her mouth on this finance call. And this finance
May
call should never be about an IGM or talking about personnel. That's a violation
okay.
of our code of ethics as members of this body.
Okay, yes.
May I respond,
so,
Mr. Chair? I mentioned
actually,
the GM
me,
one time, and he mentioned the GM.
Okay, yes.
He said that the GM and the business manager have come
out.
Up with a budget.
Let the chair,
okay,
chair, please.
Let me try to sort this out. It is correct that you should try to avoid mentioning people by name, especially employees, and that goes for the GM, the IGM, the executive, the IED, anyone in particular on an open call like this. That is a personnel mm-hmm. question. And mm-hmm. I would also say that, Dwayne, I appreciate your objection, but I hope that we could, not use phrases like every time somebody opens their mouth to try to keep things calm. And so,
Check the record.
What was that?
Fine. Go
check
ahead.
Check the record.
Mr. Chair,
all right,
may I finish?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and finish, and I'm hoping I could appeal to both of you just to let this drop and proceed with, because we only have a couple of minutes. We have basically 1 minute. So let's try and end on an upbeat note.
Fine. I said that I would be happy to have a meeting to discuss the budget. We had a meeting, and we didn't finish, and I would like to schedule a meeting every week if necessary to get a hold of the budget, to get control of the budget. And love to talk to anybody that can figure out how to do that. We have a problem with membership right now. We have no one in charge of membership, and nobody keeping track of it. And we have lapsed donors that nobody's calling. So unless they're called, we may never hear from them again. But they could give if somebody contacted them. So yes, our pledge drive is doing poorly. Everything that we have is taped in advance, and that is not appealing to
Mr.
our listeners.
Mr. Chair,
point of order. What?
Mr. Chair,
point of order. Nancy, point of order.
Okay.
Just let her know.
I apologize. I was
sorry.
Distracted.
You can turn these.
What is the germaneness of this discussion to the topic we're discussing?
Yes, we did veer off topic. Actually, Dwayne veered off into this, and then Teresa responded, so let's pull it back and come back to the nature of our initial discussion. But, Dwayne, I guess I have to acknowledge you for your point of order before we go ahead.
No, just as long as you chime in. This member went right back to doing what I stated a point of order for which you tacitly ruled, but she went right back to it.
I appreciate that, yes, and I was not
paying
attention.
Well, I tell you what, Mr. Kerr, if if Mr. Lark decides that, and if we decide that Mr. Lark gets to take this to the PND, if this is taken to the PND, which I think is what the topic is, he has suggested that this issue be taken to the PND. I hope as treasurer that I get to say something to the
PND.
What
is she talking about, Mr. Chair? She's all over the place. What is she talking about?
We've gotten into a situation where people are speaking without being recognized. We've got a lot of crosstalk. Yeah, the time for the meeting has elapsed. Therefore, we will end on an unhappy note.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I would like to move to approve the minutes of the September 8th and September 22nd meetings.
Yes. Is there any objection to approving the minutes of those meetings? Hearing none, and the orders of the day have been called for, and we are out of time, so I'm going to declare that the meeting is over. And to both Teresa and Duane, I want to suggest that Berthold Reimers has offered assistance from their program, the program director at WBAI, in the matter of your remote broadcasting. And also, several of the stations are using Allegiance. I don't know if you're using it, but Allegiance takes care of notifying lapsed members and does a lot of other wonderful things. So if you're not using that, that might be a suggestion to look into that.
I'll tell you what, James, would you just call me after this meeting so I can find out what exactly?
I'd be happy to, and I'll also call Duane and fill him in. Okay, so we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. I think it was a fruitful meeting, and we'll see you next time.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Thank you all.
Good night.